Committee to order. It's February the 4th. It's 35 after 11, and we do have a quorum consisting of Senators Kukesh, Willakowski, and myself, McGuire. We have one item on the agenda today, and that's Senate Bill 223, Energy Efficiency Bonds, Loans, and Fund. We do have the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation leaders here today to talk to us about the bill. So we'll go ahead and ask Dan Fauske and Brian Butcher to come up and tell us about this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. I'm Dan Fauske. I'm CEO of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. With me is Brian Butcher, our Communications and Government Affairs Director. I always get this title that changes so much today. We're here to talk about Senate Bill 223, and it's a bill to establish an energy efficiency revolving loan fund in the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and authorize the corporation to sell up to $250 million of bonds to fund the program. This is an offshoot of the ARRA funding, that federal stimulus money that came out, and decisions that were made as to how to utilize the $28.232 million that the state received. In discussions, it was determined that state the allocations would be $10 million to DOTPUF for state facilities energy efficiency projects, $8 million on schools and municipal facilities energy efficiency projects to be managed under HFC, HFC low-income housing facilities to help upgrade all our public housing, a village facilities energy efficiency program under AEA at $3.732 million, and then $4 million of the money would go for energy efficiency resources and tools for communities and businesses. In discussions, we also have with us Joe Dubler today, the Chief Financial Officer of the corporation. In discussions as to how to best utilize this money, in discussions with DOTPUF, we determined and recommended that that we utilize a contract performance a mechanism whereby we could leverage the $18 million into roughly $250 million in bonds. And the way the program would work is that the contractors then, and there are people online, I believe, from DOTPUF are here personally, could discuss their ongoing program. But the energy savings that are developed and guaranteed by the contractor through the retrofits to buildings are sufficient enough to pay the debt service on the bonds. It was our feeling that with the amount of work that's required and necessary, that $18 million in cash, albeit a large sum of money, didn't do much to help eliminate the problem. And so we thought we should utilize this tool to try and expand that money into $250 million and thus making and creating this revolving loan fund that could go on in perpetuity, if you will, as the work is done and the bonds are paid off, and then you can continue to loan these monies out on an ongoing basis. And that's kind of where we find ourselves today in terms of trying to have a discussion as to how this would work. There are, I know Arizona is one state that has utilized this a great deal. I know DOTPUF has utilized the performance-based contracting model in some of their facilities already. And so I think we're here. Maybe Brian, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, if I could just add something, Madam Chair. For the record, Brian Butcher, Public Affairs Director for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. This was included in our application to the U.S. Department of Energy. It just got approved a couple of weeks ago. And actually, they're very much encouraging trying to set something like this revolving loan fund up. Much of the ARRA funds are really focused on trying to stimulate the economy now, but this was one area where they really said if you could take the funds and turn it into a long-term program, it would be very beneficial. So we were pretty certain when we turned it in that it would get approved as it was. So.
Wonderful.
Madam Chair, I did have the I was asked by the governor's office around a week and a half ago to all 50 states have been contacted by the Department of Energy as to our energy efficiency and retrofit programs that we're doing. I dealt with the Deputy Secretary of Energy, a woman named Catherine Zoy, and her chief of staff. We went through the variety of things that we're doing in the state, and we talked about this issue, and she was very impressed with how Alaska's handling what we're doing, especially on the weatherization rebate program and then this program moving forward. So they wanted us to keep them posted, and they thought this was a great use of the monies that they were intended to be used for when they went out.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I just want to say thank you so much. You've been working with our office, Senator Wilikowski's office, and my office, and we love the bill. And it's interesting because I was talking, spoke at the Municipal League yesterday, Alaska Municipal League, and this was one of the discussion items, you know, that people are looking all across Alaska at the local government level for ways to improve energy efficiency in their buildings. And we talked about the fact that, you know, if it's a school, it's every cent that you save can go into the classroom. If it's a building, every cent you save can go into other important government functions like fire and rescue and those kinds of things. So this is innovative, and it's our intent, and it sounds like with your blessing, to make this a part of the omnibus energy package. We'd like to roll that into our bill that we put forward and think it's really complementary. We do have obviously the other incentives in there, but I think this is a nice fit. And then just on the dollar amount for the 10 and the 8, you feel confident that that's the amount of money that's the right dollar amount in both those categories?
Yes, Madam Chair. In talking to our finance folks, and Joe Dubler is here, we felt that we could go up to $250 million leveraging the $18 million, and because it's a revolving loan fund, it should go in perpetuity. And so we think that that's going to work comfortably. Also, when the $28 million, when the legislature overrode Governor Palin's veto and the $28 million became available, there was a real kind of panic with municipalities and schools about that that's such a limited amount of money that, you know, if we didn't do something like this, it would be a very small number getting work done and then the money being gone. So we've had a lot more positive discussions with the different communities around the state when they realize that this is something. It won't be a matter of if you can utilize a program or not. It'll just be a matter of if you can do it this year or next year, you know, just the timing. And so that has really calmed a lot of people that know they can now take advantage of the program.
I could not agree more, and I think just we've seen that example play out with the AEA renewable energy grants. You know, then that was $150 million. I mean, you know, now we're looking at the final 25. But I heard that same feedback from folks that were in the queue, didn't get approved. And largely, it sounds like, for lack of information, it was a rushed process. They didn't quite lay the components out to AEA's satisfaction, have them ready now and are ready to go. But there's that finite amount of money, and once it's gone, it's gone. So I think this is a real innovative idea. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, I agree. Senator McGuire and I were very strong advocates of that, getting that federal funding, because we knew that it could be used in ways like this. But could you explain sort of technically how you can it's pretty amazing how you can get a $250 million program out of $18 million. I mean, can you just explain briefly how you do that?
Senator, through the chair, Joe Dubler's going to join us. It's not a little bit different, but it's kind of similar in a way to what we did a number of years ago with the tobacco settlement monies, where there was an annual payment to be received, and in those days it was between 20 and 22 million. And then, if you recall, we leveraged that into 300 million, and built quite a few rural schools with it. This is a little bit different in that there's not an annual payment coming in on the tobacco settlement, but what you have is an annual savings that's generated by utilizing this contracting, and those payments can go to service the debt. But I want Joe to explain a little bit more detail how we're going to do this.
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Joe Dubler, the Chief Financial Officer and Finance Director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And through the Chair, Senator, this would be structured very similar to the way we do our mortgage bond deals, where we have a small reserve, a debt service reserve fund that the $18 million would represent, and the rest of it would be relying upon the corporation's general obligation pledge. Part of the debt service, or 100% of the debt service on the bonds, would be paid from the loans that we make to the municipalities to make the repairs. And the way the contracts work that DOT has negotiated so far, the contractor guarantees an energy savings. That energy savings equates into cash savings every year. That money would be used in the first however many years it takes to pay off the debt. They would use those funds to pay off the debt, the loan that we use to pay the contractor. So it's a lot like a mortgage loan where instead of paying rent every month, you buy a house and you're making payments instead of to a landlord, you make them to the bank. So it's similar.
And if you could just give me an example, let's say a school in Angoon, for instance, that wants to get it wants to get weatherized, renovated, retrofitted. They apply to HFC. And explain sort of technically how that would work, if you would.
Sure. Through the chair, Senator, they would come to us. They would apply for to participate in the program. There would be an initial assessment done on the building to determine if any savings were available. If there weren't any savings, I mean, if we couldn't do enough work to make any savings, we wouldn't do any
and
work.
And who pays for that?
That's something that would be paid for by the program, where an energy performance contractor would go out, do the initial audit, and just to make things simple, let's say the contractor determines that $100,000 worth of work will create a 20% energy savings. And so they then borrow, the school district Angoon would borrow the money from the program, pay the contractor $100,000, and just to make it things round, let's say it saves $20,000 a year. They would then pay the $20,000 a year until the loan had been paid back, at which point those energy savings could either be used to reduce the size of their budget or to be used somewhere else in the wherever the school district determined. The interesting thing about energy performance contractors is the energy performance contractor assures that if he does the determination and says $100,000 will save 20%, if in fact they do not save 20%, the contractor pays the difference. So there is an assurance when we make that loan that we will get paid back, because even if it does come up short of what the contractor thought, he's taking care of it. When you hear it initially, it's kind of hard to believe that that's really the way it occurs, but it's been working very well in many states. State of Washington's had an extremely aggressive program. DOT has used it on, I believe, 8 buildings over the last decade, and that's the way the process works. So.
If I could follow up, Madam Chair. So, it's fantastic. I mean, it's really fantastic. But so Angoon takes out the loan, and then the if there's a default, is that payable by Angoon or is that payable by HFC? Do they take out a loan for, let's say the cost to weatherize the building are $100,000. They then take out a loan for $100,000 and pay that to the construction firm? Or, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm the details aren't real clear in my head.
Through the chair, Senator, they would take out a loan with us for the $100,000, and I'm not sure, I wouldn't think we would give it to Angoon to pay to the contractor. We would probably pay the contractor directly, and that's just how these things tend to be done. But the savings from their energy savings on an annual basis then would come from their budget to us. If they didn't pay, we would have some sort of a mortgage on the property, and we just assume that they would pay, I guess. But I mean, we could take the property.
I'm not
back,
saying that Angoon would not ever repay.
No.
Again, if I may, Madam Chair, Senator, not again, totally dissimilar from what we're currently doing on teacher housing, where we enter into a contract with school districts. They do the work in terms of. We don't have direct relationship with the contractors in that regard. We will do work. We will have a direct relationship with a school district or a school board or municipal government. And through the monies that they receive in their budgets, school funding monies, we leverage off a piece of that to pay off the debt. They borrow from us to construct teacher housing, and that's been very successful. We've done up to 300 units now around the state. So the contracting mechanism is in place. And we'll work, those details would be, it's really based on the fact that there's a guarantee in place by the contractor that these savings are going to be there. And the savings come out as the money goes out under the school foundation funding formula, monies go out to districts. As Brian had pointed out, if someone's paying $100,000 for utilities and they receive a 20% or $20,000 reduction, that money would be earmarked to service the debt on those loans till the debt is paid off. Thus, same amount of money is going out, but it's being utilized in a different way. And in the long term, their operating costs have been reduced because the energy has been reduced by the amount that was determined in the work that was done.
Right. Are these guys licensed and bonded? Do we need to deal with them in our statutes, these energy auditors, do you feel we're prepared as a state, or is there anything we should include in here regarding licensure and bonding?
Madam Chair, I could speculate, but I believe Joel St. Aubin is on the phone, and he has actually worked with energy performance contractors, so he could probably give you a better answer.
Okay, Joel, are you there?
Before he answers, could
I ask?
Oh,
yes, my apologies. Senator Kukin.
Yes.
What's the difference between an energy performance contractor and an energy auditor?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, the difference is, I mean, I don't know in direct comparison to comparison what the difference is, other than an energy performance contractor, it's an employee of that contractor, because instead of, say, our home energy rebate program where you have the rater come in and then a separate business does the work, it's all worked together because the work they do to determine what needs to be done is connected and they're on the hook for the savings. So it's all one company. But this may be something Joel can answer as well, because he's actually
been administered. I hope so, because you didn't answer it. I know what an energy auditor, I've heard of them before, because they're the people that go out and audit homes to make sure there's, for example, a weatherization requirement or ability, but a contractor, now that's somebody different. I never heard that one before, energy performance contractor. There has to be a difference between them, just on what it is.
Yeah. Well, if I may, the energy rater doesn't do the work on your home. When the energy rater goes out and does the pre-audit on your home, then the homeowner hires a contractor. The contractor comes in and does the work based on what the energy rater's study of the house told you, and then there's a post audit that comes in and says, yes, they did these things, and the energy savings have taken your house from a 2-star to a 4-star plus. Where we're verifying that is in the people's utility bills, and then it determines the amount of the rebate that the person gets on their home as to how many stars they want to. In this case, the energy performance contractor is actually doing the work. They go out and assess the property. They then say, well, all right, if these things are done, this amount of energy savings will be realized on the performance of this building and its utilities, and that's what you base the amount of loan going out and how the debt service is paid
and
based on the savings.
Excuse me, can I follow?
Oh, absolutely.
And are there such people in the state already?
If I may, sir, I'd like to defer to the DOTPUF.
Okay.
Joel, it's online, because they have dealt directly with them in the past.
Right, good question.
Okay.
Joel, sorry about that.
All right. Madam Chair, for the record, I am Joel St. Aubin, Chief of Statewide Public Facilities for DOT and PF. I'll go back to the earlier question on licensing and bonding. That's currently covered under the State Procurement Code. Statute A is 3630, so I believe we're covered on that. And those requirements are made part of our energy performance contracts. The last question, yes, there are currently contractors in the state of Alaska that do energy savings performance contracting. At this time, I believe there are at least four that are interested in it, as well as I'm sure will garner interest from the state of Washington as well. And on to the third item that was been discussed on energy auditors, an energy savings performance contractor will typically have energy engineers on their staff that are schooled and well-versed in doing energy audits. And as mentioned, they will be the ones that go into the facilities, do the investigation, determine what equipment is there, what improvements could be made, and will work on building a project and costing that project for the facility.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. There's a lot of things to like about this bill. One of the things that I particularly like about it is I see it as a tremendous jobs bill. I see this as really potentially creating hundreds of jobs all across Alaska. But I'm a little concerned that there's only four contractors out there in Alaska. And is there a way that we can ramp up our workforce very quickly to make sure that the bulk of these jobs, if not all of them, are going to Alaskans?
Through the chair.
Senator Wilkowski, through the chair. There are four main contractors. They, in turn, subcontract out the bulk of the actual physical work to mechanical contractors, electrical contractors, and, you know, other specialty contractors. So the workforce is, in my opinion, is already in place through all the various, you know, firms that are already in Alaska. So there's, you know, four or so primary firms that will act as general contractors when it actually comes time to do the implement the energy conservation measures in the buildings.
We still have, under the procurement code, a weight increase for Alaskan-owned businesses, don't we?
There's I believe, a 5% bidder preference.
Madam Chair, again, not dissimilar. When we started the energy weatherization and rebate program, I believe we had 25 energy raters statewide. We now have 130. I think when the legislature and government takes the action to make the funding available, the private sector figures it out quickly and says this is a place where we can divert our resources, expand our business opportunities. And so I agree with Joel that this will, it's the old build it and they will come kind of thing, because, and your rights are on the jobs. We estimate that at a minimum we've created 2,500 jobs with the weatherization rebate program, and I see this being no different. This is going to be a very, will have a great impact on the job, because it's just going to be good, high-paying work long-term with a good funding source, and it just generates a great deal of interest from the private sector and various entities to go do this work.
You know, it strikes me, and I don't know if it's this committee or if we resources is stacking up, but so maybe we use this committee. But what we ought to do is, in light of the omnibus in general and the incentives in it, is bring in AGC, the different plumbers, pipe fitters, mechanical engineering groups, et cetera, and have a kind of a couple-hour summit to exchange of information to let them know what kind of jobs will be coming out of these bills, and make it public so that people who maybe haven't thought about it before are aware. Because you're right, people, the private sector does follow, but sometimes not, you know, orderly. And again, if in Washington State you have sophisticated folks who are already in the business and so forth, and it's not to say we don't love our friends in Washington State, but it'd be great to get Alaskans with that information early on and start thinking about it. So,
Madam Chair, you're right. I would hope, based on our experiences, and I know DOTPUF's well-schooled in this, but back to the energy raters, when we created, we had two things we were concerned about, and when we allowed the 18-month provision to give people time to do the work, we knew first we had to ramp up and get the raters, and we also knew that we didn't want to swamp or inundate the contractors, where people get so frustrated that the money's, but there's not enough contractors to do it. And I hope that consideration will be given to, as you put the money out and that we determine at the best level that can be done, that you don't put so much work out there that there aren't enough contractors. You allow some ramp-up time just to make sure, ensure that there's available workforce to do it, or that people will get frustrated as well, going, well, great idea, but there's no one to do the work. And so, but I assure you that it'll correct itself. It just has a way of doing that when you get it going.
And if I could follow up, Madam Chair, we've been working with your office as well as Senator Wilikowski's discussing these kinds of issues, and I think we're all in agreement on it.
That's wonderful. Yeah, one of the things Bill and I, when we were, you know, out throughout the state and putting this package together, we, in addition to getting affordable, reliable energy to Alaskans, our main goal is to try and create and grow a new energy economy. And in the past, reflecting on what it was like when I first came in the legislature, there was a view that conservation, efficiency, renewable energy was somehow antithetical to oil and gas hydrocarbon development. And, you know, if you were in one camp, you were by definition not in the other. And it's wonderful that we've come to this place in Alaska's history where there's a synergy of all of this. And I would just like to see the similar growth in both renewable energy technology sector, along with the energy efficiency and conservation sector, to get that growing and get those jobs here in Alaska, and really not outsourcing, you know, have that build up. So we'll keep working on that. But it strikes me that maybe you all could be an integral part of a hearing that we would have that would just focus on the jobs aspect and even job training, to be sure that the Avtechs, the King Career Centers, the university is set and ready to train. So,
if I may, Madam Chair, what excites me about this is that If I've been asked once, I've been asked 1,000 times if we do commercial on the weatherization rebate. And we say no, as important as it is, and you guys, you know, you've heard me, you folks have heard me testify before that eventually we need to, if we're going to continue this, we need to get there. If you look at a village, you can go out and do 20, 25 houses, and it's tremendous for the consumer. If you're looking at the overall economic viability of that village or that community, you can do one school and accomplish the same amount of energy savings, if not even considerably more. So the two of them put together have a great impact on that community in terms of the overall energy usage. It's important to do the houses, but it's also important to do the school and the public facilities and airplane hangars and anything else that's out there just sucking fuel, because the whole community is tied up into what those costs are, and then it factors down into what the cost of services and goods are.
We've talked about commercial as well, and the way that we talk about it, you know, there's always that discomfort about giving private sector handouts or these kinds of notions, but in the end, if you reduce that overhead in a private sector consideration, especially in a small market, you know, that benefit goes on to the consumer, and that's, I mean, that's a fact, and I think ultimately can make our businesses more competitive. Yeah. You know, we've got a lot of Alaskan businesses that are competing with other outside groups, and if we can reduce that overhead, makes us more competitive. So thank you for your leadership, all of you. You guys have really been a big part of shaping the energy dialogue, and we appreciate the hard work that you and all your folks at Alaska Housing Finance Corporation have given. There, I see on here Bob Breen and Scott Waterman. Do we want to hear from them, or they're online for questions?
They work for us, and they're wonderful people. And
wonderful.
Yeah, they're more our energy specialists that were available if there were questions.
Okay, and then is there anybody online? Okay, anybody here in the audience that wants to testify? It's just a big love fest here today. So with that, we also want to ask you to come back at some other point. I know you've been working with Fish and Michelle. Mm-hmm. We want to really use the data that you've collected to help educate Alaskans. That's one of the criticisms that we've got, is that, you know, the average Alaskan would do more if they knew what to do. And so we'd like to have you guys come in and do a presentation maybe at a lunchtime, so that sure. people can file in and out, have gavel to gavel here to talk about what Alaskans can do, and also maybe just to walk them through how do you get a weatherization grant.
Madam Chair, if I may, we're looking forward to coming down on the information that we have is just getting so substantial. We've been sharing data with the NSTARS and the other energy suppliers, and we've learned now and have known for some time that the bills that people are getting are tracking exactly with what our rate, what our, so in other words, when we say that the house is going to perform this way, NSTARS coming out and says it's matching exactly with what the reduction in the energy bills are. So the system is working, and this is no different. It's just on a larger scale, but the same technology is. So we're really looking forward to presenting that data.
Yeah. Also,
Senator Kuker?
Just this, it probably isn't even in your field, but one of the biggest problems in rural Alaska right now as it relates to our weatherization program and other programs for energy in the state is that we don't have enough energy auditors. We just don't. And I asked the Denali Commission yesterday to look at their training specs to see if they can take energy audit energy auditors and put them into the housing authorities, take existing employees and train them and maybe have them available for rural Alaska, because that's the only connection we have, most of us, to rural Alaska energy is their housing authorities. We have them in every region of the state. There are Alaska Native housing authorities, and if the Denali Commission could come up with some training money and do that, I think we could limit a huge problem. But right now, most rural Alaskans do not participate in the energy programs of the state because we can't get an energy auditor out there.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, there are two things we're working on right now in dealing with that. The first is Alaska Housing will pay energy raters to go out to rural Alaska and will pay for the travel and per diem. When Fairbanks and Anchorage had these long waiting lists and most of the raters were in the urban areas, it was difficult to get them out there. We're being much more successful now because the waiting list in Fairbanks is zero. So we have 30 energy raters up there that have no work to do, and they're getting much more involved in getting out to rural Alaska. The other thing we're doing is the energy raider that does the rating for the home energy rebate program, and the energy auditor that works in the weatherization program have always been two separate things. They're very similar, but they're not exactly similar. We're working to bring them together, and in fact, I think our next board meeting, we're going to go to the board to try to go out with some draft regulations for public comment that will train them together, so every regional housing authority and weatherization provider in rural Alaska will be qualified to not only work for the weatherization company, but also to do energy rebates out in rural Alaska. So we think that's also going to help us get out to areas we haven't been able to get to yet.
Could I follow?
Yes.
Then the last thing I would say then is that, great that we have it, but how do we tell people? The message isn't getting out there yet. And I appreciate the work you're doing. I think the next step has to be the message has to get out.
If I may, this is going to lead to a debate I think we're going to get more into. We're fully encumbered right now on the rebate side. Mm-hmm. Meaning that there's money in it, but as people get to their 18-month and roll off, then we then take that money and put it back to the list. So it's not a case of money. On the weatherization side, we anticipate, I believe, and Bob's online, but I think we're scheduled to do 7,200 homes, I think, is scheduled this next year on the weatherization. The concern we're starting to have, and we need to have this discussion with legislators, is two things I believe need to be determined. One, do you want to continue the program? And two, at what level? Meaning, and I'm getting to your point about advertising. I hate to get too involved in advertising. I'm not so concerned on the weatherization side as I am on the rebate. And we go out and do this large-scale advertising, and there's not funding to support the ongoing work. We're not at that point yet. We will get the message out, Senator, I guarantee you. And we met last week with AHA. The Association of Housing Authorities was in AHFC and had one of their annual meetings. It's a priority on our list to make sure that the message is being delivered. Remembering that weatherization and rebate are somewhat different. The primarily weatherization is occurring so much more in rural than it is in urban. We have a case right now where we've got two homes on the rebate side in ADAC. But we're going to get them done, but it's difficult to get people out to do too. But I assure you that it's going to get done, and we will get the message out there.
And if I could add to that, Madam Chair, Senator, when we first started with the rebate program, we really made a push to try to get out to as many people as we could. We had mailers to every Alaska home. We got on the radio. We did everything we could. And then it started going crazy. Well, now, as of the end of November, our first group that got ratings at the beginning of the process are getting to the end of it. So we're now getting input on what percentage of people. So far, over 70% of the people that got their rating have used the program and gotten a rebate by the end of the 18 months. So it's been very high. We expect that to drop a little bit as we get to the big bulk of Anchorage people that may, for whatever reason, choose to use or not to use the program. But we are contacting people that signed up and did not use the program. We want to find out why they didn't use the program. We're also tracking by community to see how many people are going through it, so we know which communities to target with kind of our second wave of information out there, which communities to target and what the issues are in those communities. So that's something, as Dan mentioned, we're working on making sure we get out there, because the purpose is to have Alaskans utilize the program, not just in Anchorage and Fairbanks, but everywhere.
Wouldn't it have been nice if we would have saved that $750 million we gave out in those little checks, those $1,200 checks, and created a nexus, you know, and said that you'll get this rebate to go to partner with you on improving your home?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, so anything else? I digress. Okay, so we're adjourned.